In the interview chair today is double entrepreneur Kristen Patrice, who is a third-generation owner of Berkeley's renowned KC Barbecue and Bella Babies, a family daycare. Kristen's grit and determination helped save her family's business in 2017 when it was destroyed by a fire. Kristen continues to build her baby and barbecue empire day by day with what we call a marathon mindset. Dream Chasers, welcome Kristen to the podcast. And yeah. I think, you know, it's important as, you know, generationally, you know, what we pass down to our children, because that is their true wealth, and what they're able to live off of is the, you know, the wisdom and the knowledge and the know-how. So how has, well, let me back up. You have the daycare, but then you also have, you work with the barbecue restaurant. How do you use vision in either one of your businesses? Because I think vision is a really important aspect to have as an entrepreneur, as a dream chaser. So it's like, okay, what's the vision and in pursuit of it? So when I say that, how do you manage having a vision for either businesses?
That is one very actually tough aspect for me.
Okay.
Simply because the reality of entrepreneurialism is, you know, adjusting, constant change. Mm-hmm. And as an entrepreneur, I have to make adjustments all the time. And I can vision my restaurant being this modern, hip, cool place to go eat barbecue and drink beer. Mm-hmm. But then the reality is, you know, during wintertime, people don't want to eat barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So I then have to make an adjustment to figure out, okay, well, barbecue during the wintertime, you know, what can I do? Let's serve hot spiked cider and, mm-hmm. you know, have a soup, have some kind of chicken soup as an appetizer during the winter to bring our customers in. So
ultimately,
there's always a big picture that I want to have this, you know, sense of Southern comfort in the restaurant, being it down home, family mm-hmm. style, family operated restaurant. So that's my ultimate vision. But, you know, based on the time of year, based on the clientele that I have in between, you know, the Berkeley-Albany border, I
mm-hmm.
am constantly challenged with making adjustments or,
yeah.
I mean, something I recently faced with my vision. You know, we are a barbecue restaurant. We cook meat.
Yeah.
That is what we do. But because I'm in Berkeley and people are becoming more health conscious, I too have to grow with the idea of, okay, maybe I need to add salads to mm-hmm. the menu.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to, you know, have a vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free
right.
option. And that
yeah.
is something that in 50 years, in my 2 years of running the operation, we're now facing, like, okay, well, what are we going
right.
to do? And I'm just like, okay, well, I still want it to taste good and I still want it to
right.
taste like home, but, you know.
Right. Wow.
It's a veggie patty, so it's like mm-hmm. we gotta slap some barbecue sauce on this and cook
and
it
make
with
it work.
Love, and it's gonna do what it do. So
there
exactly.
That's what's up. That's what's up. It's crazy. And you know, when you hear 50 years, that's a long time. And I always motivate and encourage our dream chasers to understand that, you know, our dreams, it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. And
exactly.
maintaining that marathon mindset, how are you able to maintain that marathon mindset, although, you know, the business has been established for 50 years, but still, you know, having a vision for other things in the future? What keeps you motivated and just going, you know, steady as you go? What keeps you?
The ultimate thing is knowing that I have an opportunity to you know, build something for my son to
mm-hmm.
either run and operate himself or put it in order so that he, you know, doesn't necessarily have to get up and go to work every day. He can have some sort of entity that can sustain itself, make money, and he can thrive and go on vacation or create another business, follow his passion. We can pay for college. You know, ultimately it's the motivation is just, you know, people get up and go to work every day and hate their job. I've been afforded the opportunity to get up and work with my family and create something that can keep us thriving and ultimately surviving and, man, getting through the day. Sometimes it is a struggle to get through the day because I'm doing 110 things, but it makes it all worth it in the end when, you know, I can do something for my grandparents, like take them to Sizzler because they like Sizzler.
Right. The old saying to be loving some Sizzler. I don't know what they do with that stuff, but they love it.
And I'm just like, okay, I know I sold these, you know, I sold these 50 units today and we can, you know, pay for this or we can start saving for this. And, you know, it's just an opportunity that I don't have to answer to anybody else. I love the freedom as far as making my own rules, making my own way and molding my vision. Although that, you know, it changes often just because of the industry that I'm in. Even with the daycare thing, things are constantly changing, but my ultimate goal is to create an environment that I would want my own child in, loving, fun, easy, and that's what I'm putting out there.
That's what's up. Now, this is a foodie question. Now, you guys serve greens, right?
Yes.
Okay, do you guys do collard or mustard? And do you prefer one over the other?
So we use collard greens. And I prefer collard over mustard because the mustard greens sometimes tend to be a bit bitter. So they take a little bit more cooking, a lot more seasoning. Collards are just easier to... Collards are just easier to cook down. And an interesting thing, we do now offer greens. That is a new side for us. However, we did have to adjust the recipe. Most of us that cook greens, you know, we put a ham bone or turkey neck or something in it, and we create that base and that broth. However, because I'm trying to be a little bit more health conscious, because I'm trying to appease to, you know, our newer customers that don't eat meat. So they come in and they'll order a plate of all the sides.
Yeah.
We actually use a organic vegetable base.
Okay.
And we do, you know, green peppers, red bell peppers, and onions, and just make our base that way. But we do... The collards are just easier to cook. They're easier to season. Tender-wise, it's just easier that way. But our greens are all vegetarian and vegan friendly. So I'm happy that we got that on the menu.
Awesome. Look at you.
Cool. Yes.
Got to alter switch and, you know, do what you got to do. So that's amazing. Now, this is the one thing that, you know, entrepreneurship, depending on where you're coming from, people think it's just such an amazing thing. Other people are like, it's the hardest thing ever to do. I know for myself as an entrepreneur, I am pushed to grow as a leader from vision, from, you know, being creative, but then also forging partnerships. Like for you, how has, you know, being an entrepreneur, what piece has been challenged most for you? Like, is it as a leader? Is it your leadership skills? Is it you know, are you a marketing person? Are you an operation person? Are you a hands-on people, human resource kind of a person? Like, what, which skill do you feel like you utilize the most?
I do think that I am a easygoing, likable person. And I like to use that to my advantage to create connections with people. And I kind of think my biggest challenge, especially being in Berkeley and being in the barbecue restaurant industry, just so happens that I am an African-American 31-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, while it's, you know, my greatest attribute, that I think I'm a beautiful, easygoing, easy to talk to, amazing Black woman, I also think that is a challenge for me, because, you know, I walk into a room and I know what I'm talking about. And I think the fact that I have so many facts about my business, and I kind of, you know, a lot of people say it looks great. It looks easy. You know, we tend to make all the work that you do, it looks seamless, flawless, right, and easy. Mm-hmm. But everybody doesn't know, you know, the daily grind.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Right. And also just being a woman, I'm a very direct person. And sometimes, you know, my my faces are like, ooh, like, what she got going on there? I'm like, right, y'all just, you know, come approach me, or I approach you and we have a conversation. Exactly. Generally, I'm easy. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, I just do the best I can. I try to put my smile and my best foot forward all the time, but because I am about my business,
right,
you know, I don't like people playing with me either.
That's it.
Yeah.
I feel you, totally. So what piece of advice would you give to a dream chaser out there who has a dream, who's kind of like, I don't know, should I? The thing that I hear the most is like, oh, I don't have any support, or, you know, I don't have the money, or one of those reasons. What would you say to a dream chaser as she's trying to pursue her goals?
Well, first and foremost, you have to know and research whatever avenue that you are trying to pursue. If you are trying to knit hats and sell hats, you need to know what it's going to cost you to make a hat, what your audience is, what your competitor is doing. And a lot of people come up with an idea and just say, ooh, I'm going to do this. And they don't know their craft, or they don't really know their dream. So it's an easy way to fail when you don't research whatever it is. And I mean, the passion and the facts have to go hand in hand. Otherwise, you're gonna fail, because you can be passionate about something, but, you know, I mean, something easy. You could be passionate about cooking, but you could be a horrible cook.
Very much so.
Exactly. So my biggest thing is for people to research. The funny thing, my family has had this restaurant for a very long time, but I didn't come into the business until 2017. And I didn't know much about the restaurant industry beyond what I had seen my dad doing. But there were certain things that he was doing. There were certain things that he needed to do better. And there were things that he wasn't doing. But until I actually read, like, oh, here's the general business operations of a restaurant. Like, you know, restaurants for dummies, restaurant 101.
Right.
Until I actually took the time to research those things and read, you know, I had no idea A through Z of how to operate a restaurant. But I had to had to educate myself. And that is the biggest thing for anybody chasing any dream. You have to know yourself and know your craft, whatever it is.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. Yep, we definitely got to take time to learn, to research. I think like those hidden times when you feel like nobody's knowing you or nobody's seeing you, those are like the best times because you get to really, like you said, put down those roots, really learn what the heck is going on so you can be able to launch successfully. So that's amazing. Well, Kristen, yes. I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with me today. It's always good to hear from other business owners because on the Dream Chaser podcast, it's all about going after your dream relentlessly, regardless of what barriers might stand in the way. So I'm sure our listeners today were blessed by your story at the end of the day. And the thing that I think resonated with me most and one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on was the idea of having, you know, a family business. I know a lot of the women I come across, like they're starting something on their own right now. And I think it's great to be able to start something, but then also be on the other end where you are continuing a legacy that has already been established. I think that's amazing too. So I just want to give you kudos. And you guys, if you are anywhere near Berkeley and you have the taste for some barbecue, you guys need to stop through and go to KC. Yes. Now, where can they find out more about you? What's the address of the restaurant and everything?
So our website is KCSBBQ.com. That's KC's Barbecue BBQ.com. The address is 1235 San Pablo, and that's in Berkeley, 94706. We are right on San Pablo at Gilman. Our Instagram, KCSBBQ. You can follow us on Instagram. Shameless plug, but a little plug. For the month of February, we have brunch every Saturday regularly. But for the month of February, we are giving free mimosas with your purchase of brunch. So for Black History Month, we trying to bring out everybody and just a little turn up, a little barbecue, a little brunch. And a mimosa on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. And I just want all the Dream Chasers to keep following and keep listening to Jen because she know what she's talking about. And everybody just to keep shining. And, exactly.
That's what it's about. Cool. Well, all right, Kristen, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'll see you soon.
All right, girl.
Bye.
Are you ready to level up? Today's episode is being brought to you by the Dream Chaser Conference, happening on Saturday, April 4th. The Dream Chaser Conference is an impactful gathering for Black women entrepreneurs and creatives who are relentlessly pursuing their dreams. Our speakers are industry experts and successful businesswomen who want to share their insights with you. You will walk away with new valuable connections and lucrative strategies for you to begin implementing immediately. Early bird tickets are now available for a limited time, so go to register at dreamchaserconference.com today. All right, cool beans. So super excited to have you on, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, you are very welcome. And it's crazy because you know how the internet streets have it. You're not always able to connect directly with people because you feel like you see them, you know them, and you know, but never had that ability to have like a direct connection and interaction. So I'm excited that we actually get to sit down today virtually and have a conversation about our dream chasing journeys and everything. So excited to have some conversation with you today. And so I had, well, actually, allow you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us a little bit about you, just maybe a few pieces from your background and kind of where you are, and then we're going to jump into some of these good questions that I have.
Absolutely. So my name is Kristen Davis. I was born and raised in Berkeley, California, and I own and operate two businesses. One is a large family childcare that is located in Berkeley, and the other that I am currently focused on and focused on growing is my family's 50-year-old barbecue restaurant that is also located in Berkeley called Casey's Barbecue. And that's me.
That's a lot.
And that's me in a nutshell. So I grew up in Berkeley, graduated from Cal State Northridge in 2011.
I didn't know you went to Northridge. Cool.
Yes, I did. I went to, that's a whole another long story. I actually went to Howard my freshman year, and I didn't survive the distance away from my family. So I came home, finished at Cal State Northridge, and then I moved home, and here I am back home and working, still very much involved with my family and of course the family business that is Casey's Barbecue.
For sure. It's funny, I was supposed to go to Hampton. Like, I legit had like a scholarship. I was supposed to run track and everything. Like, they printed it in my high school's little newsletter of like all of the places that all the students are going. And literally like a week before I was supposed to go, they like dropped my scholarship. It was like, we ain't got no scholarship money no more. Sorry, you can't come. I was like, what?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like crazy. Well, it didn't happen a week before I was supposed to go. That's not true. I think like it happened maybe a few weeks after they offered it. Then I was like, oh, we can't, because I ended up going to Fresno State because we used to always run against Northridge. And so that's why we said Northridge. I was like, oh, and plus I'm from LA too. So Northridge is literally like up the street and around the corner. So yeah.
Oh my God. I love LA. That literally is like my second home. I lived in Venice, Culver City, and I commuted to school, and it was amazing in LA, but my family wasn't there. So I was like, I gotta come home. I'm a Berkeley girl.
I get it.
I had to get back here.
No, it's so funny. So my husband's from Oakland, and so you go ahead and vouch and stand up for Berkeley, because Berkeley always gets that, you know, like, oh, they very Berkeley. Like, Berkeley's just different or something.
So, yes.
Like, I mean, I've been around in the Bay for almost 10 years or so, and I would have to say Berkeley's a little different. But for you, like, what has made Berkeley's home? But, you know, obviously besides your family, what do you love so much about Berkeley?
Well, first and foremost, my family is from, like, the old Berkeley. Like, the streets of Berkeley. My grandfather, just a little background, my grandfather graduated from Berkeley High School, and he's 88. So my family has been in Berkeley when literally all the blocks were full of lots of melanin. And over the last 30 years, you know, that's been adjusted from the folks that in Silicon Valley, you know, wanting to be close to the city, but, you know, almost to suburbia, you know, kind of. So it's safe to say, like, gentrification, not in the most horrible way, because we still have a very diverse group in Berkeley, which I do really love and appreciate, and most of Berkeley is very inclusive to all cultures, so I do appreciate that. It is it is funny sometimes to still live in Berkeley and be a young African-American woman, like, you know, walking my dog and riding, you know, walking down the street with my son, and, you know, some of the people newer to the neighborhood are like, well, I wonder where she's going, you know, that's a little weird. But all my family, we all literally live within a block to a block and a half of each other in Berkeley.
That's amazing.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's still a beautiful thing that my son and I can go and walk to my grandparents' house, being his great-grandparents. Yeah. And I mean, my family, I bleed Berkeley. So
that's what's up.
Like,
that's what's up.
Yeah, awesome. My family is here. I'm here to stay, even
there
with these million-dollar properties.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be
God
here.
God going to make a way.
Exactly.
He going to make a way. I'm with it. So, obviously, like you said, you're the KC Barbecue, which is amazing, okay? I've been there several times. It's funny. I always ask people, where do they get their entrepreneurial spirit from? So, I mean, without question, it's almost obvious where you got yours from. But, like, what was your dream growing up as a little girl?
Well, what's funny, my dream as a little girl was to be a teacher. So,
okay.
I never... where I am now is actually a little bit different from actually being in a school and being like a kindergarten teacher. From a very young age, I always wanted to be the teacher. And I was like the little tiny boss in the room all the time. Like all my cousins like, okay, y'all come sit down. We gonna play school and I'm the teacher. Y'all sit down. Like that was me. So naturally, I was a little bossy.
Okay.
So, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit kind of came easy to me, and just seeing my grandparents. My mm-hmm. grandmother also owned a beauty shop right next door to my grandfather. So
okay.
I spent a lot of my time in between the two businesses. And
gotcha.
my dad was handed my grandfather handed the business to my father a year after I was born.
Okay.
So, you know, I've never seen, you know, my dad's always worked for himself, and that's
gotcha.
What I've seen. And my mother has always had a job or several
mm-hmm.
jobs. She's
mm-hmm.
never, you know, and I've always known, I mean, you got to work to get what you
right.
need. You have to work to get what you want. So that's was instilled and ingrained in me at a very young age. And both of my
mm-hmm.
parents were just like, whatever it is that you want to do that's going to help you to survive and thrive in the world, do it. So
yeah.
I always knew that I was going to be somewhere doing something. And in the back of my mind, I always knew I was going to be in charge of something.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, so the
that's
entrepreneurialism
cool.
like, ingrained in me at a very, very young age. Like I remember
gotcha.
My dad teaching me to count money. He's like,
mm-hmm.
you can't ever survive unless you know how to count this money. So here you go. Here's a stack of ones. Count them. Put them into stacks of 20, and this
yeah.
is the change for the day. So
there you go.
We, yeah.
I love it.